The title of the message this morning is We Have POA. And POA means power of attorney. We have power of attorney. Now, before I read that, let me announce one more time that Terry McAlmon is going to be here next Saturday. Isn't it next Saturday? The next Saturday week?
In two weeks.
August 12th at 7 p.m., the doors open at 6 p.m., and there is no charge. There is no charge. If we need more, please make some more. And I want to encourage you. I have been listening to, I think I told you this on Wednesday night, Pastor Brock Flint's series on kings and priests. And he shared something that I want to share with you this morning. It was something that the Holy Spirit impressed upon him to share with his folks. Please listen to your pastor's voice a second time. Please listen to your pastor's voice a second time. And what the Lord was impressing upon Brother Pastor Bronk was this. We come to church, we'll sit through a message. And after we sit through the message, we never go back and hear it again. And so the Lord impressed upon Pastor Brock that people really need to listen to their pastors a second time. Don't just think that you've heard him once and now you've got it. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. So I encourage you that when Pastor delivers a message, go back and listen to it again. Anybody who delivers a message in this pulpit, go back and listen to it again, because you never get everything the first time. I cannot tell you how many times I have gone back and listened to Pastor or Brother Alay or Gary or Brother Brock, anyone, a second time, and the Lord has shown me some things, and I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes. Barry's not special. That's you, if you do that, he will show you some things too for you. Amen? Okay. I know Pastor is going to be back in town tomorrow, but I don't want you all to miss him too much. So, in the tradition of helping you not miss Pastor so much, I have a joke for you. At the end of Sunday school one week, the teacher asked the children, "Do you know why we're supposed to be quiet while the pastor is preaching?" And little Stephen replied, "Because people are sleeping." A French fry walks into the bar and says to the bartender, "Hey, could I get a beer, please?" And the bartender looks at him and shakes his head, and he says, "We don't serve food here." I got booze, I'm in good company, praise God. All right. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, please. In Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 18, 19, and 20. In verse 18 it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, unto the disciples, saying, All power," that word power is the word exousia, means authority. It means authority. "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Because all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, go ye." So I'm authorizing you to go, therefore, and teach all nations. And that word teach means to disciple, make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. Now that word world is the word aeon, and it means ages. It means generation. It's a time frame. So Jesus is saying that he's going to be with us until time is no more. Okay? Mark chapter 16. We're going to read verses 15 through 20. Very familiar passages. And he, Jesus, said unto them, go ye into all the world. Now here the word world is cosmos, so he's talking about the literal world and the people in the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. Now, he's not talking about preaching the gospel to dogs, alligators, salamanders. I just wanted to clear that up. Dogs don't go to heaven. I know I just broke somebody's heart. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. In my name they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing in my name, it shall not hurt them. And in my name they shall lay hands on the sick. And in my name those that they have laid hands on shall recover. Okay? What we have just read, Jesus has given us the power and authority to do on earth what he did when he was here. Okay? For us, that would be what is called power of attorney. And I'm sure you are familiar with that term, power of attorney. But we're going to look at that for a few minutes, okay? A power of attorney, or POA, is a written authorization to represent or act on another's behalf. It's written authorization to represent or act on another's behalf in private affairs, in business affairs, or other legal matters. And sometimes when you are the POA and you act, you're going to act against the person's wishes because you believe in your heart that you are doing the best thing for the person. Okay? The person authorizing the other to act is the principal, grantor or donor of the power. He's the principal, the grantor, or the donor of the power. The one authorized to act is the agent. Hello, agents. Hello, agents. Or in some common law jurisdictions, the attorney in fact. A POA will be enforced as long as it is signed by the grantor. Okay? As long as it is in writing. Do you see me, ladies and gentlemen? As long as it is in writing. Okay? Now, a power of attorney may be special or limited. And when we talk about limited, it is limited for a specified act or type of act. Or it can be general or temporary. Now this one is very, very important. A power of attorney cannot grant powers to the agent that conflict with the rules and regulations governing people and companies the agents deal with. A power of attorney cannot grant powers to the agent that conflict with the rules and regulations governing people and companies the agent deals with. A good example would be, say that Kathy is my power of attorney, okay, and she wants to go to the bank and do a transaction. But the bank has a clause that if you're going to do banking business, the person, the grantor who gave you the power of attorney has to be present. So Kathy cannot transact any business for me at the bank because I'm not present. I have to be present. Okay? Here's where I'm going, ladies and gentlemen. We have been given power of attorney by Jesus. Okay? Listen to me clearly. The only authority that we have as Jesus' power of attorney is written in heaven. Whatever heaven, whatever the rules and the regulations in heaven are, that is the power that we have access to. That's the power that we are authorized to use. That is the power we are authorized to use. In my name, Jesus said, they will cast out devils. That is our POA. That's the power we are authorized to use. In my name, they shall raise the dead. That is the power we are authorized to use. We are Jesus' stand-in, if you will, as power of attorney. We are to act and to function just like Jesus acted and functioned when he was here. That's what a power of attorney does. That we have the legal authorization to conduct business just like Jesus conducted business. Do you hear me? When Jesus went and saw the man in the tombs at the Gadarenes, and Legion says, what are we here to do with you, Jesus? Are you here to torment us? And Jesus didn't say anything. He just said, go. It's time for you to leave. We have that same authority, ladies and gentlemen, because it's one of the rules of the kingdom. It's one of the rules of the kingdom. One of the rules of the kingdom says when light comes, us, hello, light, darkness flees. That's one of the rules of the kingdom. And you know why darkness flees? It's not because of you, ladies and gentlemen. It's because you have the authority given to you by the principal, by the grantor, by the donor of the power. They respond to you because they don't want to have to deal with Jesus. So they said, we might as well just obey now and get it done with. Okay? I was thinking about this last night and this morning. I don't know if you all caught on to the messages I have delivered in pastor's absence. All of them, ladies and gentlemen, have to do with showing us who we are. I didn't sit down and say, okay, let's have a who you are series of messages. I didn't sit down and do that. I just went where the Lord told me to go. But when you look at the messages, they are all designed to show you who you are as opposed to who you've been taught that you are. And as I said before, we are so much more than we know. We are so much more than we know. What is the value of a POA? The value of a POA depends entirely upon the authority and the power that the name represents. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, we're not going to turn there, but we know in those verses, God has given Jesus what? The name that's above every name. So, we have the power of attorney of the one whose name is above every name. We have the power of attorney of the man's name where every knee will bow. We have the power of attorney of the name where every tongue shall confess. Can I get a hallelujah? That's who you are, ladies and gentlemen. That's who you are. You are Jesus' power of attorney. He's given you that right to use his name to bring heaven to earth. When do we receive the power of attorney? The moment we say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God, that God and that you rose from the dead. That's the moment we get the power of attorney. How many of you knew that? Some of you knew that. Yeah, you see, Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says we are complete in him. So if we are complete in him, then everything that he has for us, we got at the moment we entered the kingdom of heaven. We got it the moment we entered into the kingdom of heaven. And but like anything else, when we entered the kingdom of heaven, we entered as babes. So we have to learn how to use what we have. That is what this whole book is about, teaching us how to use what we have, teaching us how to be who we are. That's the whole purpose of this book, ladies and gentlemen. That's the whole purpose. Otherwise, why write it? Why do it? God wants us to know that just like Jesus lived, and you look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is my expectation that my sons will also do the same. That is God's expectation. And God would not expect something of you, ladies and gentlemen, that you cannot do. Can I get a witness? Praise God. You are so much more than you realize. We're going to look at some examples this morning of general power of attorney. Okay, we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 1. You remember how I mentioned that it's in all the messages, we were talking about who we are? In Genesis chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 26, 27, 28 again. This will be the third time that we've looked at these three verses. And this is the fourth time I've stood before you. Okay? So I think Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, 28 are fairly important to our Father, don't you think? Okay. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God said, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the deep. What are we seeing here, ladies and gentlemen? God says, I have created heaven and earth. I have prepared a garden for you to live in. I am giving you complete authority over the garden. You are my POA, Adam. You are my POA. Is that not what we see? Because once God puts Adam in the garden, we don't hear from God anymore until Adam messes up. Because God tells Adam in chapter 2, verse 15, I want you to guard it. I want you to dress the garden. I want you to keep it. The garden is your responsibility, Adam. I have given you all of the power and authority you need to take care of it. Now look in chapter 3. Remember I mentioned earlier that sometimes the person who has the power of attorney will use it against the wishes of the person who gave it to him? Look in chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, the ground is cursed because of you. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife named Eve, because she was the mother of all living. But I want you to see, Adam had power of attorney. He did not use his power of attorney the way God wanted him to use it. Okay? Genesis chapter 41. We're going to look at Joseph. In Genesis chapter 21, we're going to look at begin with verse 39. We're going to read 39 through 44. And now this, we're picking it up in the middle. Joseph has already interpreted the dreams for Pharaoh. Joseph has told Pharaoh, listen, for the next 14 years, God is telling you what is going to happen. Listen to that. God is telling you what's going to happen for the next 14 years. The first 7 years, you're going to have so much plenty that you're not going to be, you won't be able to do with it. So you have to store it, you have to build houses or silos or whatever you need to do to build all of the wealth you're going to have, all of the food. But then after that 7 years, the next 7 years, it's going to be famine. And people are going to wonder, where is the food? Ladies and gentlemen, if God will tell a pagan king, give him a roadmap of the next 14 years of his life so that he can prepare to deal with those 14 years, don't you think that if something is about to happen in your life, God does not want you to know about it? God does not want you to have a plan? But see, the difference between Pharaoh and us sometimes. See, Pharaoh asked for help. Pharaoh asked, what does this mean? What is going to happen? How many of us take the time to ask God, God, what do you see on the horizon that's going to affect me? He's your father. He's a good, good father. You are loved by him. Don't you think he's going to give you an answer? Come on, folks. Yes, he will. So, with that, verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Hold your finger here and go to Ephesians chapter 2. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, we are taking another look at who we are. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Were, past tense. But God, in verse 4, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. He has made us alive together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I remember the first time that Pastor, he was so excited about what the Lord had shown him. And what the Lord showed him was that when Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, we rose with him. Is that not what this says? And has raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places. God saw us being raised with Jesus. He saw us being raised with Jesus. So now we are seated on the right hand of God. What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? There is only one person more powerful than us on the throne. God. Okay? So just like Pharaoh was the only one more powerful than Joseph in the throne. Ladies and gentlemen, that is you. That is you. And see, if God is the only person more powerful than you in the throne? What does that say about the enemy of the soul? Nothing. He is nothing to you. He has nothing that he can do to you, ladies and gentlemen, as long as you know who you are and what God has called you to do, the authority that Jesus has given to you. When you know that, then you will know that you will know that you are spending entirely too much time thinking about what Satan is doing. When you know who you are, you don't spend any time worrying about what he's doing, because he should be worried about what you are doing. Can I get an amen? I mean, you're sons, ladies and gentlemen. You're sons. You are so much more than you realize. Back to Joseph. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took of his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or his foot. Let me go back to Adam real quick, because I didn't fill in a blank. When we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we saw that God gave Adam authority over God's creation. Here we see in Genesis, Pharaoh gave Joseph rule over Egypt. Joseph was Pharaoh's power of attorney. Do you see that? And see, Pharaoh said that when the people of Egypt see you, they will know that I have your back, because you are my power of attorney. Ladies and gentlemen, when the enemy of the soul sees us, what should he see? Jesus. Because we have his power and authority. We are his power of attorney. The kingdom of darkness should tremble every time we come into the room. Every time, bar none. The kingdom of darkness should say, I don't want to have to deal with this one. I'm going somewhere else. Because we have Jesus' power of attorney. We can do this. We can do what Jesus did when he was here. And you and I both know that when you read the Gospels, the kingdom of darkness did not like what Jesus did when Jesus was here. Okay? Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at Moses. Are you seeing what it means to have power of attorney? In Exodus chapter 3, look at verse 7. It says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. God says, I have come down. Is that not what he said? Okay, look at verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, I will send thee. Do you see this? God says, I have come down to deliver my people, and I am sending you to do it. God has given Moses power of attorney. Can 10 plagues? Is that not power of attorney? Okay, 10 plagues. When Moses had power of attorney, he had the power to deliver Israel. God gave him the power to deliver Israel. Look in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. You know, I would have loved to have seen what that temple looked like. At the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, that must have been some sight, that temple had to be, for this kind of detail to be in Scripture. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us. Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, then Nicole said, then Dwayne said, then Vladdy said, Jamie said, Nina said, Doris said, Lillian said, "Silver and gold have I none, but I'm going to tell you what I do have." Hallelujah. "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What did he have? What did they have? The name of Jesus. Jesus' power of attorney. He says, "I don't have money, silver and gold." That's, you know why he said, "I don't have money"? It wasn't that he really didn't have money, ladies and gentlemen, because he's going into the temple. What that meant, money is not your problem. Money is not going to help you. I'm going to give you what's going to help you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. That's what the man needed. He didn't need money. He needed God to touch him. Peter and John, POAs, God touched him. Okay? Look at verse 9. Well, let's read verse 7 before we get there. "And he took him by the right hand." Not only did he say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk," he took out his hand and he picked him up. He was saying, "I want you to understand, there is no doubt about the fact you are getting ready to walk. So just give me your hand and just get up." That's what he was doing. "Give me your hand and get up." "And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Ladies and gentlemen, this is where we're going. This is where we're going. Where when we say something, we don't wait for it to manifest. It manifests right on the spot. This is where we're going. Okay? "And he," the man, "leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and doing what? Praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." Now look at verse 16. "After the man has been seen leaping and walking and praising God, and the people knew that he was the man who had sat at the gate all those years," verse 16 says, and this is Peter talking to them, "and his name, through faith in his name, made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, faith, the faith which is by him, hath given him the soundness in the presence of you all." What is a key point we see here? They have power of attorney. The moment that they were born again, just like us, they have power of attorney. But if you don't believe you have it, If you don't believe you have it, because he said in verse 16, it was faith in that name that caused this to happen. You can have power of attorney and you don't have any faith, you might as well not have the power of attorney. And I'm going to tell you something else, ladies and gentlemen. The enemy of the soul knows whether or not you know whether or not you have power of attorney. He knows. He looks at how you live. He knows. So we have to get to the point that we start living like Jesus lived, so that the enemy of the soul gets confused. Because he said, wait a minute, I'm seeing Jesus everywhere. What's going on? Praise God. I'm seeing Jesus everywhere. And that's what Jesus wants. Okay? Look in Acts chapter 16. This is Paul. Look at verse 16. Can I ask you a question? Are you getting blessed? You should be, because you have an opportunity to see who you are, so that when you walk out of this building after the morning service, back a little straighter, shoulders back, walk with a pep in your step, saying, my God, this is who I am. This is who I am. My God. You'll be different, ladies and gentlemen. If you can grab a hold of this, you will be different. Verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. And they show us the way to salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to her, wait a minute. Whoa. Why was Paul grieved? Because that was exactly what he was doing. But why was he grieved? The woman was saying, Paul is just like me. He's just like me, showing you the way to salvation. And so Paul says, I don't know, we're going to put a stop to this. This lie's got to stop. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that same hour. Paul had the authority to cast out devils. Do you see that? Let's look at examples of limited or temporary power of attorney. You know the records. 12 apostles, Matthew chapter 10. All of these records, ladies and gentlemen, you have read before, but seeing them in the light of who you are is what's important. Verse 1, chapter 10, Matthew. And when he, Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power of attorney against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 7. Jesus says, as ye go preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Your power of attorney, ladies and gentlemen, is only as powerful as the kingdom of heaven. Verse 8, heal the sick. What does it say? Pray for the sick. Heal the sick. Not pray. Heal the sick. You know why we pray? Do you know why we pray? Because we feel like we're accomplishing something. Ladies and gentlemen, when we pray for the sick, that is nothing more than getting a participation trophy. You have not accomplished anything. You're just getting a participation trophy. Jesus said, heal the sick. So when Jesus says, heal the sick, you heal the sick is no longer sick. But see, we've been taught so long just to pray for people. I will pray for you. And so once we pray for the person, we sit back and think, I have done what I'm supposed to do. You just got a participation trophy. because nothing was accomplished. Nothing was accomplished. Jesus said, heal the sick. He didn't say pray for them. He said, heal the sick. Clean the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils freely. Freely you have received the power of attorney. Freely give. Freely use it for my purposes. Do you see that, ladies and gentlemen? Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at the 70. You're not going to look at participation trophies the same way again ever, are you? Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 1. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Verse 5. And unto whatever house ye enter first, say, peace be to this house. Do you see that? You can command peace to be in a place. Do you see that? You can command peace to be in a place. Because, see, when you read John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. So when you go into a place, peace goes with you. If you know you have power of attorney, peace goes with you. That's what the Bible says. He said, whatever house you enter into, say, peace be unto this house. If there is peace, there is no confusion, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Look at verse 9. Here we go again. You know, Jesus is just like a broken record. I mean, it's almost like the needle is on the, oh my God, I forgot. Many of you never seen an actual record, have you? No, that's made out of wax. It's round. You have to put a needle on it so it plays when it. Many of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Humor me. Jesus is like a broken record. The needle has gotten stuck, okay? Because he says in verse 9, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, what? The kingdom of God is come unto you. How would they know the kingdom of God is come unto them? They have been healed, ladies and gentlemen. They have been healed. That's how they know the kingdom of heaven has come unto them. Look at verse 16. He that heareth you, you have my power of attorney, ladies and gentlemen. That's what Jesus said. You have my power of attorney. The person that hears you has heard me. Do you see that? The person who hears you hears me. Because you have my power of attorney. You are here instead of me doing what I want you to do. So when you speak as the bearer of the power of attorney, when you speak, people hear me. Now, see, some of you got to go home and do some repenting. Notice that, not repenting, so repenting. Because you know that some of the words you've been using, Jesus wouldn't use them. When you use some of those words, those are not words that they would hear from Jesus. So, you know, some of you got to go home and do some repenting. Okay? And as Jesus told Judas, what thou doest, do it quickly. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. Do you see that? This is who you are, ladies and gentlemen. When someone despises you, they're despising Jesus. They're despising Jesus. You are so much more than you realize because you have Jesus' power of attorney. And when they despise you, they are despising Jesus. Okay. Quickly, John 14:12. We're going to talk about you and me. John 14:12. We have power of attorney, right? So in John 14:12, verse we're all familiar with, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that believes that he actually has the power of attorney, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So the works that Jesus did, we shall do also. Not maybe, not perhaps, shall. Shall. We shall do also. There's only one reason that shall is not in our lives right now. It's called unbelief. And we all have levels of unbelief in our lives. That's why we're not seeing shall on a routine basis. But like I've told you in the past, and I'm being very redundant, there's nothing wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing wrong with knowing that you have unbelief in your life. The part that is wrong is when you don't do anything to correct it. That's one of the reasons we pray in tongues, so we can see the areas that we need to do something about. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, it's nothing wrong with it. The only thing that's wrong is when you don't do anything. Chapter 15, look at verse 16. Still in John. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I have chosen you. Everybody can't make that statement, ladies and gentlemen. We have been chosen. That's who you are. You have been chosen. There are 300 million people in the United States of America, and Celeste has been chosen. Deidre has been chosen. 300 million people in the United States of America, and Jesus chose those two and the rest of us. We have been chosen. When you are chosen for something, that means that there is something that God wants you to do. He just didn't choose you just so you can say, I've been chosen by God. Hoo, 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 I've been chosen, and you haven't. I've been chosen. No. You've been chosen by God because he's got a job for you that only Celeste can do, that only Deidre can do. No one can do those jobs that God has for you. You are the only ones. Just like all of us have jobs that God has for us from before the foundations of the world. No one can do them. If we don't do them, they will not get done. Period. Because there's only one Barry. Okay? One more, 16, look at 23, 24. Power of attorney. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, if a Father in my name, you have power of attorney, the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He will think about it. He will say, come back in 30 days. What does this say? He will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, you shall receive. And you know why God wants to give it to you? So that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Now let's end this. Why did Jesus give us power of attorney? Acts chapter 10. If we are to act as he acted, why did Jesus give us power of attorney? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Again, a verse that we're familiar with. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. By whom? The devil. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why was he able to do that? for God was with him. If God was with Jesus, Jesus has given us the power of attorney. Where is God? With us. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now, when he says he committed sins of the devil, that's a person who lives in sin. That's where you habitually sin. Okay? It's not talking about you do it one time and you're sorry and you repent. This is someone who routinely sins. Okay? For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. You have POA, ladies and gentlemen. What is your job responsibility? To destroy the works of the devil. To destroy them. How many of you need me to find the word destroy? You know what it means. Okay? One more. Matthew chapter 16. Last passage. 15. We're going to read verses 15 through 19. 16, 15 through 19. Let's go back to verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Whom do say ye that I am? Who do you believe that I am? Do you believe that I am he? And I know I'm looking forward because disciples couldn't answer this question, but we can. Do you believe that I am the one whose name is above every name? Do you believe I am the one that at my name every knee is going to bow? Do you believe that I am the one that at my name, every tongue is going to confess? Do you believe that? If you don't, ladies and gentlemen, that power of attorney is not working for you. It's not working for you. You have it. You have the authority. You have the right. But it's not working for you because we saw in Acts that Peter said because of faith in that name, this man stands before you whole. Did we not read that? Okay. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. The gates of hell shall not prevail. What do gates do, ladies and gentlemen? They keep you out. The gates are designed to protect whoever is inside the gate. Jesus says that the kingdom of darkness and their gates, they won't be able to stand against you. You will go in and knock over the gates. Do you see that? Because, see, we are so focused on what Satan does to us, right? Not anymore. See, we have been so focused on what Satan is doing, it's almost like we're walking down the street and we see a gate running toward us. Because we're so focused on what he's doing, the gates of hell are running toward us. Gates don't run. Gates don't do but two things, open and close. That's all a gate does. And Jesus is saying that that those gates will not prevail against you because you have my power of attorney. Now, this last verse, hold your seats. Get ready for this, ladies and gentlemen, because see, this one is all you need to understand what power of attorney means. I will give unto thee what? Keys. keys. When you have the key, you can go anywhere you like. I don't care what gate there is. You have the key. You can go anywhere you like. Jesus is saying, I am giving you power of attorney. I am giving you the key to go anywhere you like in my name. Can I get an amen? We got the keys, ladies and gentlemen. And if we have the keys, guess who does not have them? The enemy of the soul. You are so much more than you realize. I want to close with sharing with you a dream that I had. And it's something that I have shared with you before, but I hadn't shared it since I've shared it the first time, which was in 2014. Because we have Jesus' power of attorney. Okay? Now the dream, and some of you may remember, is of dead babies. Dead babies. I drove up to an intersection, and across from me was a couple. They would have gone through the intersection if I hadn't gotten out of my car. For some reason, maybe it was the look on their faces, I got out of my car and walked over to them. In the back seat, there were three small babies, beautiful little things. And they were in a wash tub, and they were dead. How many of you have seen a wash tub before? Okay. My heart went out to the parents. The babies were so precious. As I looked at them, I simply extended my hand and said, "You will live." Do you see what I did in my dream back in 2014? I didn't pray for them. I just simply extended my hand and said, "You will live." Do you know how many times I prayed for people after that dream? Do you know how many times I prayed for people after that dream instead of heal people after that dream? I simply extended my hand and said, "You will live." Before I could walk away, they began to move. One by one, they opened their eyes. They yawned, just like Duke does, just yawns, stretches, as if they had been asleep, and then they smiled. That morning, I thought about the dream. It had been so vivid, so real. And I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit said to me. It's that easy. Me extending my hand, saying you will live, the Holy Spirit said, it's that easy. That is all he said. It's that easy. When we read the Gospels, we see Jesus simply speaking and blind eyes see. The lame are made whole, the crippled walk, and the dead live. You know, I'm reading this and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. What Brother Gary shared with us during the conference about we don't pray anymore for people, we just heal them. God has shown me all of this, and like I said, and yet after this, I was still praying for people. He simply spoke out of who he was, God's son. Ladies and gentlemen, are we not the daughters and the sons of the same God? Are we not seated in heaven with Jesus at the Father's right hand? Didn't Jesus say the works he did we would do also? Thinking about what the Holy Spirit said a little over a week later, I see how in my dream I simply responded out of who I truly am. A person who has God's life and nature, just like Jesus. I didn't hesitate to speak, "You will live." My heart simply responded to the hurt I saw in the eyes of the parents. I didn't care if someone was watching me. I extended the love of my Heavenly Father. The lesson for Barry, and I hope the same lesson for all of you, in my dream world, I was not hindered by fear or the thought of what people would say. I should have no hindrance when I'm awake in the devil's world either. At the youth conference, Brother Gary shared a confession that I want to read with you, and then I want you to confess with me. My Lord Jesus has sent me into our Father's garden to dress it and to keep it. An enemy has brought great ruin to my Father's garden. I have authority from my Lord Jesus and power by the Holy Spirit to restore all the damage that this enemy has done and to drive the enemy from my Father's garden wherever I find him. This is the will of my Father. Jesus sent me as he was sent, that all things be restored to the Father's original intent and purpose. I want you to say this with me. My Lord Jesus has sent me. Say your name. Has sent into our Father's garden to dress it and to keep it. An enemy has brought great ruin to my Father's garden. I have authority from my Lord Jesus to restore all the damage that this enemy has done and to drive the enemy from my Father's garden wherever I find him. This is the will of my Father. Jesus sent me as he was sent, that all things be restored to the Father's original intent and purpose. We need to understand. Remember, I said that we have power of attorney? Brother Gary has just laid out very succinctly what we are to do with that power of attorney, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to go home knowing who you are, knowing what has been invested in you. Because Jesus has given you power of attorney. Jesus has given you the authority to do in this world what he did in this world when he was here. He has trusted you with that, ladies and gentlemen. He trusted you with that. It is now up to us to take the power of attorney and run the enemy of the soul, the devil, out of our Father's garden. If we couldn't do that, then we would not have been given the power of attorney. See, so never again, ladies and gentlemen, do you have to be concerned about what Satan is doing, about what some of his little minions are doing. You never have to be concerned about that ever again because you have power of attorney. Do you think Jesus lay awake at night thinking about what Satan was going to do to him? No. Do you think Satan laid awake at night thinking about what Jesus was going to do to him? Amen. Make him stay up nights, ladies and gentlemen. Go out there and be Jesus for someone. Show them the real Jesus. Don't just preach a message, but you heal them. You deliver them. That is what he wants us to do. And you can do it. You can do it. Even the person small as Braden, he can do it. All you have to do is believe what the Bible says.